did redeem us. You redeemed us from a life filled with agony and pain and death, and give us instead your precious, holy, righteous life. And God, we just ask that today, as we open up your word, that we may find in it truth and hope and love. And above all, God, we pray that we find you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Have you ever had either your kids or someone around you that you kind of just want to look at them and give it the old shh? Just be quiet. Today, I want to talk about the fact that we as Christians cannot be quiet. That we live in a world where we are being told at this particular time in our culture to be quiet. But I want to look at a passage in Acts chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 4, I want to talk about Peter and his challenge with the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the day. And as for him, he said, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now, last week we talked in Acts chapter 3, we talked about how that there was a man whose hand had been withered since birth and that they healed him. And then he was questioned about that. And he said that this was because of the power of Jesus Christ, the one and only Jesus Christ, the one who the prophets had foretold and who fulfilled all of those prophecies. He was the only salvation. He is the only way. And as he's teaching this, we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 4, the priest and captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. So just as he was giving this very powerful sermon about the power of Jesus Christ and how that he was prophesied and fulfilled those prophecies, the temple guards come up and the Sadducees arrest them. Verse 2, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to be about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power, what name did you do this? Then Peter said, filled with the Holy Spirit, rulers and elders of and the people, if we are being called on account of today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There was conflict that was going on. The conflict was that the leaders of the day, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, those who were put in power and authority by the high priest to kind of police the spiritual realm of the world and inside Israel, making sure everybody followed the rules. They said, you are teaching something, you are saying something that we don't agree with. You see, the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection of the body. They had a teaching one way, and Peter and them are teaching another way. And so a conflict arises that the apostles were teaching contrary to the culture of the day. They were greatly disturbed, speaking of the leaders of the day, it says they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching about the resurrection and the power of Jesus Christ. This was something that Christians would face and are still facing, are they not? There is not really a big surprise to know that sometimes that there is going to be a teaching within the culture that is different from that which is the teaching of Jesus Christ. And here we see from the very beginning of the founding of the birth of our church, this conflict arises. Second thing that part of the conflict is there is an opposition to the teaching of Jesus. In verses 16 and 17, everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a noble sign. But we cannot deny it. But we must stop this thing from spreading any further. This teaching about Jesus has got to stop. I mean, it's going to interfere with our livelihood. I mean, these guys are teaching that you can go right to God because of Jesus Christ. We've got this whole system set up. We're the way. You got to come through us. There's taxes and tariffs, and you got to do certain things. I mean, we got the gift shop. I wonder if they had a little priest bobbleheads, you know. Probably not, but I just want to throw that in there. You got guys here tour. They're coming in from around the world, and they're having to interact with these priests, and the priests have kind of some skin in the game there. They're like, we've got to stop this now, which is in direct violation to Matthew 28 when Jesus says, go to the whole world teaching them my commands. Peter and John and the other apostles were going and following what Christ taught them. And that has been pretty much Satan's strategy from the very beginning. To try to silence us. To try to stop people from telling the truth. He started with the Garden of Eden with Eve, and he twisted and perverted God's word. So you start doubting it. You quit repeating it. And he chases mankind throughout the Old Testament, constantly trying to stop him. And where he can't silence them, then we are confronted with physical harm. The third conflict that we see between the Sadducees and the apostles is this, that they were told to stop teaching the truth of Jesus or else. In verse 18, chapter 4, it says, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when we read these words, sometimes we just see them as that, as words. Now, we think about maybe like a nice little conflict, like a little parent-teacher conference. Like when I saw this, when you read these words, it kind of sounds like that, as though it's just like they come in and they go, you know, it'd be really nice if Timmy would quit talking in class. Just real nice, right? No. Peter and them were in jail, so they're brought in. And they're wearing chains. So imagine you're Peter and John. You got a couple of pounds of weight on you because you're carrying these chains. And I'm sure the guards were not very nice when they drag them in there. And I'm sure as the high priest kind of got in their face and said, would you please stop talking about Jesus? Do you think that's how he did it? Or was it more of like, you will? Like it is implied. You know what we can do. Your own master we took to a cross and nailed him and killed him. You better shut up. You better stop talking about him. What does that look like today? We're going to sue you. We're going to bankrupt you. We're going to pass laws that make you unable to go out and speak truth. But the apostles had an answer to all these conflicts. The first thing was that they had courage. Verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, listen to what I have to say." That in their own face, in the face of conflict, in the face of being threatened, they had courage. Verse 13 says it, the Sanhedrin saw the courage of these apostles and were astonished. They had reason to have courage, though, because the apostles knew their foundation. Verses 11 and 12, Peter speaking says, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected." You love Peter, right? He's just always just out there. Right after they tell him, "Shh, quit talking about Jesus," he comes right back. "Well, Jesus, let me talk about him to you. Jesus is the stone that you guys threw away." He's quoting from Psalms here, and he says, "But he is going to be the cornerstone." Salvation is found in no one else, for there was no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. He knew the foundation. If you remember last week as we talked about those 1 times 10 to the 17th reasons why that Jesus is the only one. There's no one else who fits the bill. And Peter says, this is the only place. This is it. There is no other name. But there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, he is Lord. He is Lord. Not the Sanhedrin, not the Sadducees, not the Roman government, not the American government, or fill in the blank. Any authority or power that you can think of, none of them surpass the power and authority of Jesus Christ. They knew their foundation, and they knew who to obey. Verse 19, Peter and John replied, after he'd been threatened, after being told to be quiet, after told that you can't talk about Jesus, he comes back and says this, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges." Who am I supposed to listen to? If I truly believe, Peter's saying in this statement, if I truly believe that Jesus Christ was the one and only Son of God who came and provides salvation, and he's over here, and you're over here, and you're telling me to quit talking about him, I have a choice. I can keep my mouth shut. I can go back to fishing. And you can leave me alone. And we could go on with the rest of my life. And one day I will face that God who told me to talk about his son, and he'll ask me why I didn't. So who am I going to believe? Who will I obey? Praise God, Peter and John and those guys obeyed the Father and not man. And we sit here today as a testimony to that because they told about Jesus Christ. We just read that from 3,000 to 5,000. From 5,000 to hundreds of thousands. From hundreds of thousands to millions. To the point today that here we are 2,000 years later that we know the story and the truth of Jesus Christ. He knew who to obey. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Who are you listening to for advice? Who are you seeking answers from? Peter and them sought answers from God, from Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. They sought his advice and they spoke out of it. They obeyed him. Now, you probably have had some experience in your life of either giving advice that was ignored or receiving advice and ignoring it. We've all been in one of those two categories, yes? And there is nothing more frustrating when you see a person who is broken and hurt and sometimes in financial trouble or spiritual or relational trouble, and they come to you and they finally say, okay, tell me, give me some advice. And you can lay out this most beautiful, simple 1-2-3-step plan to get into back into step in their life, right? And then they walk right away and forget it. Or maybe you've been on the other side of that. Maybe you've been broken in your life. And you just wished and wanted somebody to be able to tell you, and then somebody finally does. Here, 1-2-3, here's how you do this. Now, I experienced this a lot when I was in jail ministry, because I would see guys and they were like, I just don't know why my life is all a mess. Well, here's 1-2-3 reasons why. Stay away from drugs and alcohol. Stay away from negative friends who do illegal activity. And start getting around people who do positive things. And if you don't know where they're at, go to a church, because most of them are doing positive things. There's a few in here. But we have these simple steps that we could take. Oh man, chaplain, you're right. Yes, sitting in my office, that's great. I'll never forget, there was one guy in particular that I had a part of my life change program. He spent 18 months. He got to the point that I actually trusted him. I worked with him. I mentored with him one-on-one. He was teaching classes to the other inmates. I just knew he had it. And the day that he walked out the door, I was there to take him to the place so that he could have a positive start. And literally, not like a figurative thing like you see in movies, like, oh, here's the devil and here's like a little angel. I'm not saying I'm an angel. By any means, I'm not. But literally, I'm on one side and his brother shows up, who he hasn't seen in 3 years, but who he got in trouble with to begin with. He had just recently got out of jail and he shows up. So this man walks out and he has a choice. At that moment, he makes a choice. I will tell you, he went with his brother. Oh, chaplain, I haven't seen him for so long. I just want to see. Man, it's my brother. I'm like, you know where this is going, right? I don't need a GPS to tell me the end destination. No, it's not going to be like that. And at first, called me. Kept in communication, went to church a few times. Then the phone number started changing. Then I kept seeing him less and less. Then one day somebody called me and said, hey, do you know that so-and-so's in jail about 2 counties over? He and his brother had another meth lab. The way of a fool seems right to him. The wise take advice. Peter and them knew, I could have this life over here. I could just submit to the man in charge and just kind of fade away. Or I could stand with God and have eternal impact. John 6:63 says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh cannot. Jesus says, the words that I give you have spirit and life. We must learn to stand on the word and teachings of Jesus Christ. Because in them is life. In them is healing and restoration and beauty. It's not hate. It's not narrow-mindedness. It is instructions by the Creator God of how that we human beings should live our life here on earth. We face a conflict today in our culture. Now, I just want to read a couple of two references. I could choose a lot of things. You could just open your Yahoo News or CNN or Fox News, whoever you use. And I'm sure you could find lots of examples. But I want to just read two things to you today. Number one, as an example of where we're at in our culture, from July of last year. You may remember July of last year, the Supreme Court gave the okay for same-sex marriage across the United States. In that, there was a discussion between the different justices, and there are those who were on that side, and there were those who opposed it, and I want to read this part. In his dissent, Chief Justice John Roberts, a dissent means that he was against the same-sex marriage approval, he says, today's decision, for example, creates serious questions about religious liberty. He went on to highlight that there are hard questions about religious freedom, including housing and adoption policies at religious institutions. There is little doubt that these and similar questions will soon be before this court. Unfortunately, people of faith can take no comfort in the treatment that they will receive from the majority. In a separate dissent, Justice Clarence Thomas predicted that there will be fights over religious liberty. He wrote that this decision for same-sex marriage will create, quote-unquote, potentially ruinous consequences for religious liberty. Less than a few months later, less than a year later, it seems as though Justice Thomas's words are coming true. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights is an agency, it's a group of people who have come together. They are commissioned to advise the Congress and the President on the rights of individuals. And they recently came out with a statement condemning the state laws and pending proposals in places like North Carolina and other states. They strongly condemn recent state laws passed and proposals being considered, because of their guise as so-called religious liberty. This commission has found and recommends that the civil right protections ensuring non-discrimination as embodied in the Constitution, laws, and policies are of preeminent importance in the jurisdiction of America. And we all would agree with that. Civil rights, individual rights within America are very important. It is a foundational truth of our country. But they are supposed to be for everyone, not just particular groups. The commission says this, though, religious exemptions and the protection of religious civil rights significantly infringes upon the civil rights of others. Overly broad religious exemptions unduly burden non-discrimination. Just to be a little bit clearer, the chairman of this commission, Martin Castro, states that on behalf of the commission, they recognize that religious freedom is an important foundation of our nation. However, the North Carolina and Mississippi laws and similar legislation proposed in other states perverts the meaning of religious liberty, and it perpetuates homophobia, transphobia, and marginalizes the transgender and gay community, and quote-unquote, has no place in our society. Now, this commission does not have the right to pass laws nor to create rules, but they are the ones who are advising the ones who do. Now, I do not share this with you in some type of scare tactic, nor do I have an agenda other than this. I want to encourage you that as things like this become more and more relevant and prevalent in our society and in our news, I want you to take heart. Because we, like Peter and John and the other apostles, have the same privilege. That as we stand before those who would oppose us and oppose the message of Jesus Christ, we can be just like them. Let us take courage. Let us take courage and be filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. Let us know what our foundation is. We speak not in our own words, but let us speak the words of God. Let us stand on the truth of the Bible. And when confronted and asked, when you stand there and you have the choice, can I go the path that I know may lead to success, or I go this path that may lead to failure? May we choose the right path. May we know who to obey. Now that may require some persecution in the short run. It may require being called a name. But we have a choice, individually and collectively. Are we going to obey God or obey man? In all of this, let us do so with the knowledge and understanding that we too were once blind in darkness until someone shared the light of Jesus Christ with us. So please do not hear this as a message of any kind of empowerment to go out and hate or be ugly to people. Just the opposite. Let us instead be filled with compassion. If we see, as just in this last 2 weeks, we've seen natural disasters happen, and when people are hurting and they are starving and their normal behavior has been disrupted, people immediately react. They recognize that they are in need, and their hearts pour out to them, and aid is sent, and we rescue. There is a world right now that is under attack and living in blindness and darkness, and it is so much worse than an earthquake or a tsunami or a tornado. For those things generally take away the things that are just temporary, like buildings and cities and roads that can all be rebuilt. We're talking about people are under the oppression of Satan himself. And what is online right here is not the restoration of society, but it is the restoration of souls. We should act not in some type of self-preservation mode, but with compassion to see people that they are crying out, that they are lost and confused, and they are in sin and blindness. Just as we all were at one time. Do you want to know how to change the culture of the United States and the world? Verse 26 of Acts chapter 4 says this, that they could not decide, speaking of the people who were in charge, the leaders, the law, could not decide how to punish them because the people were out praising God. You want to change our government? You change the hearts of people. How do you change the hearts of people? You change the hearts of individuals. How do you change the hearts of individuals? You tell them about Jesus Christ. We should be empowered and have courage because we stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, and we know that if we obey him, he is faithful to be with us. And whether you go to Target or don't go to Target, you want to go to a Bruce Springsteen concert or don't, it does not matter. What matters is you share the message of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to convince people about how I'm right and you're wrong. I'm here to tell them that God is right. And if they will come and submit themselves to that truth, the realization that they are wrong will come on its own. Be empowered. Have courage. Stand on the foundation and obey God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is powerful. Your name is powerful. God, help us to not waste that. God, help us to move that attitude of self-righteousness and the terms of bigotry and closed-mindedness. God, help us dispel that with the truth of your love and your compassion. And God, may we act with love and compassion. Help us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. That when we see others in sin, when we see sin in our own lives, rather than just tolerating it, God, we present and shine the light of you on it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.